So this morning, I will read a verse from the 8th chapter of the first canto, Prayers by Queen Kunti. It's a very known verse, and I think you will be able to repeat without the board. Translation. Let me therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudev, the pleasure of Devaki, the boy of Nanda, and the other coward man of Vrindavan, and the enlivener of the cows and the senses. Purport by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The Lord, being thus unapproachable by any material assets, out of unbounded and causeless mercy, descends on the earth as he is in order to show his special mercy upon his unalloyed devotees and to diminish the upsurges of demoniac persons. Queen Kunti specifically adores the incarnation or descent of Lord Krishna above all other incarnations, because in this particular incarnation he is more approachable. In the Ram incarnation he remained a king's son from his very childhood, but in the incarnation of Krishna, although he was the son of a king, he at once left the shelter of his real father and mother, King Vasudev and Queen Devaki. Just after his appearance and went to the lap of Yasoda Mai to play the part of an ordinary coward boy in the blessed Vrajabhumi, which is very sanctified because of his childhood pastimes. Therefore, Lord Krishna is more merciful than Lord Ram. He was undoubtedly very kind to Kunti's brother Vasudev and the family. Had he not become the son of Vasudev and Devaki, Queen Kunti could not claim him to be her nephew and thus address Krishna in parental affection. But Nanda and Yasoda are more fortunate because they could relish the Lord's childhood pastimes, which are more attractive than other pastimes. There is no parallel to his childhood pastimes as exhibited at Vrajabhumi, which are replicas of his eternal affairs in the original Krishna Loka described as the Sintamani Dham in Brahma Samhita. Lord Krishna descended himself at Vrajabhumi with all his transcendental entourage and paraphernalia. Sichitaya Mahaprabhu therefore confirmed that no one is as fortunate as the residents of Vrajabhumi, and specifically the coward girls, who dedicated their everything for the satisfaction of the Lord, his pastimes with Nanda and Yasoda, and his pastimes with the coward men, and especially with the coward boys and the cows, have caused him to be known as Govinda. Lord Krishna's Govinda is more inclined to the Brahmins and the cows, indicating thereby that human prosperity depends more on these two items, namely Brahminical culture and cow protection. Lord Krishna is never satisfied when these are lacking. The verse again. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Let me therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudev, the pleasure of Devaki, the boy of Nanda and the other coward man of Vrindavan, and enlivener of the cows and the senses. Om Magyana Timandasya Chanantana Sanakaya Shakshan Militam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Nama Chichetayamanobistam Staptam Yena Bhutale svayam rupaka dhamkadamayam dadati svapadantikam vandiyam shiro shiyoda padkamalam shirum vaishnavam sha shirupam jagjatam sankanraknotam fitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadutam parijana saitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sankalita Shivsha Kamvitam Sha He Krishna Karuna Sinudina Bano Chatpate Kopesha Kopka Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kansna Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanashvare Vrishabhana Satadevi Pranamama Haripriye Vanha kalaptrubhisha kipasinabhivisha patanampavanabhyo vaishnabhyo namo namo. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jai Advaita Kadada Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhaktavina Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Charisvamti Namine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Sarasvata Devi Gauravani Pacharini Nirvishesha Sinyavadi Paskachai Desatarini Srila Prabhupada Ki So these prayers of Queen Kunti, they are showing the mood of a Paramahamsa. Queen Kunti is a Paramahamsa devotee of the Lord. She knows who Krishna is, and in this verse, she addresses Krishna as that the son of Nanda Maharaj, that the son of Yasoda, that she is directly referring here to residents of Vrindavan. The residents of Vrindavan, they have all vraja prem, and a very special form of prema bhakti, that it's a form in which they have forgotten Krishna's godhood. That, but we can understand that is the highest achievement of human life, to come to that position. But first, for us to develop that love, before developing that, we have to go to undergo a process of purification. And we have first, like, I want to speak in this lecture about two great devotees, Nitya Siddhi devotees, who came from the spiritual world to teach us, and that's Queen Kunti and Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit, he developed, although he's a Nitya Siddha devotee, but he plays the role for us to show how we can develop this love just by hearing about Krishna. Tomorrow is the Janmashtami. It's the Astami Krishna Paksha, the 8th day of the waning moon. Krishna appears just 1 week after Lord Balaram. That so we see that Srila Prabhupada gave us this Bhagavatam. He writes in the last purport of the first chapter of the third chapter of the first canto that Krishna is in the pages of the Bhagavatam. But we must know how to extract him from the pages of the Bhagavatam. Maharaj Parikshit has heard the whole Bhagavatam, but when he heard the first nine cantos and comes into and enters into the tenth canto, then there is one verse that expresses an extraordinary realization of this hearing of Krishna's pastimes. And that's the 13th verse of the first chapter of the 10th canto. Maharaj Parikshit addresses Sukadev Goswami, says, because of my vow on the verge of death, I've given up drinking water. Yet because I'm drinking the nectar of topics about Krishna, which is flowing from the lotus mouth of your lordship, my hunger and thirst, which are extremely difficult to bear, cannot hinder me. That's interesting. This pastime of hearing the Bhagavatam by Maharaj Parikshit started when he went on a hunting exercise, an expedition. And during the hunting is a very intense activity. After 2-3 hours hunting, he became extremely thirsty. And there was no water, but there was this hermitage of this sage, and he entered the hermitage of Samika Rishi, a great mystic yogi, who was in Samadhi. He was sitting in Samadhi there. But Maharaj Parikshit, due to agitated by the thirst, became angry. And there was a dead snake, he put it around the neck of this sage, what was not an appropriate behavior at that time. But interesting, 3 hours there, in 3 hours he became very thirsty. And it agitated him, but now he was hearing the Bhagavatam. Yeah, this is a verse from the beginning of the 10th canto. He heard 7 days, must be 5 days already, right? 5 days he was without any water or eating. And just he was not disturbed by it. Then he says, I'm hearing about Krishna, he said, from Sukadev Goswami, from your mouth. And says, so I'm not even thinking of being thirsty. What can be more severe for a human being? Five days not drinking. But he was not hindered by it. So that's the effect of hearing the Bhagavatam. So by associating with Sukadev Goswami and hearing about Krishna, there was no hunger of thirst anymore. But as soon as he would stop hearing, his mind and senses would search after Maya. things to enjoy in this world. That I remember when I was a young boy, I was 5 years old, and I had a heavy toothache at that time. And another friend came to play with me. And we engaged in play very intensely. And during the play, no toothache. But then my friend ran away and the toothache came back. That's because then the center of attention goes against the body and to you. Otherwise you are in the play. But this is, of course, of a transcendental nature. If we can always engage our mind in hearing, then we are so absorbed that we forget about this body. We are by hearing about Krishna, we become connected with our real self within. And that's what makes us satisfied. Because that being disconnected with Krishna is really the cause of our suffering. When the heart is thirsty for Krishna, then we will be satisfied in heart. Maharaj Parikshit, but this verse, Krishnaya Vasudevaya, spoken by Queen Kunti, she is demonstrating another aspect of becoming Krishna conscious. Maharaj Parikshit, the focus was on hearing. But we see with Queen Kunti, she's living in a relationship with Krishna. And how? By always feeling dependent on Krishna. So we know that it is the supreme goal in life to develop this love for Krishna. We see that Queen Kunti, in these prayers, she gives an insight into the inner heart, inner core of the heart of a pure devotee. What is our mood? And this mood we find in the previous verse. Tata paramam sanam muninam amalatmanam bhakti yoga vidanartam katam pashema ishpriya. You're yourself the sent to propagate the transcendental signs of devotional service unto the hearts of the advanced transcendentalists and mental speculators who are purified by being able to discern or to discriminate between matter and spirit. How then can we women know you perfectly? So we see, in this world, everyone wants a top position. Everyone wants prestige, because of false ego. But here we find Queen Kunti. She's in the topmost position. She speaks about Paramahamsas, but she's on the Paramahamsa platform. And she presents herself as very insignificant. What does it mean, Paramahamsa? Paramahamsa means, Hamsa means swan, a supreme swan, a white swan. These Paramahamsa swans, they have the capability, if they take a mixture of water and milk, to to just take out the milk, leave the water. So that means a Paramahamsa can discriminate between truth and illusion. We have all this body. This body goes to six stages. It takes birth, it starts to grow for some time, it maintains for some time, and then creates byproducts, children, and then it starts to dwindle, and then dying. Six stages. And we all go to these stages. But the Paramahamsa knows. Na jayate mrita veva kadachin nayam buddhva nayam buddhva bhavitana buram ayo nitya sasvato yam purano nahanyate anyamane sarire. A Paramahamsa knows. For the soul does not take birth, does not die. There is no death for the soul. It doesn't come into being. It will never come into being. It's not killed when the body is killed. So a Paramahamsa sees that always. That he never neglects the soul. And what is the greatest need of the soul? We are Mamayvam Sochi Veluka Jiva Buddha Sanatana. We are a part and parcel of Krishna. And the greatest need is to connect with the supreme source of everything, Krishna. As a part and parcel, it's natural, it's our nature to serve Krishna with love. So that's a first characteristic of such a Paramahamsa. It's never forgetful of this eternal truth, which is devotion, developing devotion to Krishna. We have, for example, one of the greatest Paramahamsa is Lord Shiva. He's called the greatest of all devotees. Because Radha Gokulananda ki, Sitaram Lakshmana Hanuman ki. Because Lord Shiva is a Paramahamsa, because when he sees a spiritual spark in someone, even very small, he will ignore all material bad qualities and glorify that spark. So that's Paramahamsa. Paramahamsa means one can extract the godly of everyone. But today they think a Paramahamsa is begging. How are they received? is the story of that was a woman and the sannyasi was begging. And she opened the door and she started to shout, you parasite of the society, why don't you get a job? But I will give you a donation. And she went inside and took some ashes and put it in the begging bowl of the sannyasi. But the Paramahamsa Sannyasi smiled when he received the ashes. He smiled, and his heart became filled with love. And he said, "Today your spiritual life has begun. Now you have you have given some charity to. Your spiritual life has begun. But to do such a thing, one requires a pure heart. To forgive someone who has done injustice to you, and then give love. So that's also a characteristic of a Paramahamsa. Another characteristic of a Paramahamsa is that he can solve all contradictions in the scriptures and extract the essence. Today we see there are so many wars based on religion. So by that many wants to give up religion. They say it's bad. But it's like a knife. A knife used by a murderer or a knife used by a surgeon. A surgeon will save the patient's life. But the murderer will kill someone. So, and we see Hindus, Muslims are constantly quarreling with each other. Jews, Christians, Muslims, Protestants, Catholics even, we have seen that in Northern Ireland, fighting. But why is that fighting? Because they don't see the essence of the religion. Essence is understanding our real self and our relationship with the Absolute Truth. Real spiritual vision, vidya, vinaya, sampane, brahmana, gavhastini, sunishev, svapagacha, panita, samadakshina. One sees with equal vision this spiritual spark in everyone. Every religion has its extremists and eccentrics. But the Bhagavatam makes from the beginning clearly the difference. It separates cheating religion from real religion. Real religion is surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Queen Kunti says, even all these Paramahamsas, they have difficulty to understand you. But Krishna is so merciful and so approachable that he just appears as the son of Nanda Maharaj. And Queen Kunti, she speaks about realization. She remembers, you have always protected me. And she says, my only qualification, Krishna, is your mercy. So that's the heart of a Paramahamsa. That's the perfection to learn to depend on the mercy of the Lord. Someone asked Srila Prabhupada, are you perfect? Quite a loaded question. If you have already thousands of disciples and so many temples all over the world, everyone is following you, and someone asked him, are you perfect? Srila Prabhupada replied, I'm not perfect. But by the causeless mercy of my spiritual master, I'm offering my service. And that is my only qualification. That's the heart of a Paramahamsa devotee. And that mood will give us entrance to this Goloka Vrindavan, where all the residents are just loving Krishna. They don't care about his godhood. That's somewhere in the background. But in the foreground of their consciousness is this love for Krishna. This love in a very intense mood the mood of a friend, of a parent. This is very intense forms of love in which one must forget Krishna's opulence and his godhood. Because we see in Mathura, because Krishnaya Vasudevaya, so in Mathura, this awareness of Krishna as the Supreme Lord is there. So Krishna is identified by Queen Kunti as Krishnaya Vasudevaya, the son of Vasudev, and Devaki Nandana, the son of Devaki. But then Nanda Gopa Kumaraya. Nanda Gopa means can have two meanings. Can mean Nanda Gopal. Nanda the Gopal. Nanda Gopa can mean Nanda and the Gopas. Because all the Gopas, they had eternal affection for Krishna. You see, in the pastimes of Brahma, stealing the coward boys and the calves, Krishna became the son, because Brahma has stolen them for a moment in his time, which was a holy year, and Krishna replaced all them identical forms as the gopas and the calves. And by that, because he took the form of all these coward boys, he fulfilled the desires of all these gopis of Vrindavan who wanted to have Krishna as their son. During the whole year, all these gopis and gopas, they had Krishna as their son. And interesting, before they felt more love for Krishna than for their own son. But then their love for their son became equal, because it was Krishna himself. In that way, Krishna made himself approachable, more approachable than Lord Ramachandra. When Vasudev met Nanda Maharaj in Mathura, Vasudev said to Nanda Maharaj, "You are the real parents of Krishna, because you brought them up. You have enjoyed parenthood and brought them up, so you are the real parents of Krishna." Govindayo namo namaha. Govinda, protector of the cows and enlivener of the senses. Srila Prabhupada concludes, yes, this cows and Brahmins, protecting cows and Brahmins, that will satisfy me the most, Krishna says. And Srila Prabhupada concludes, if there is a lack of protection of cows and Brahminical culture, then Krishna will never be satisfied. And that's certainly a cause of a lot of suffering in this country and in all over the world. So these pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan are very special. Krishna comes in so many incarnations. Ram, Narsingha, Varadev, Vamandev. But in none of these pastimes does he engage so intimately as Krishna. Krishna is approachable in many rasas. That's Dasyaras, Sakyaras, Vatsalyas, Madhuryaras. And by hearing this pastime, we can develop this mood of this love. If, like Maharaj Parikshit, we go to the first 9 cantos and our heart becomes purified, then we can start to develop this Raganuja by following in the footsteps of a Ragatmika, a perfected devotee in the Vraja mood. We can then absorb in the particular mood or a mood of a particular residents of Vrindavan and develop that mood. But this cannot be done prematurely. First, we have like Maharaj Parikshit to hear, and like Queen Kunti, to depend on Krishna. Queen Kunti dependent on Krishna. She found even that calamities are the best way to become Krishna conscious. It's quite a realization. But that's the lessons we learn from the Bhagavatam, from King Kunti, from Maharaj Parikshit and so many other pure devotees described in the Bhagavatam. This brings us to this highest perfection of being absorbed in Krishna's pastimes. Thank you very much. Any question or comment?